Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Good morning, Lord, and thank you for this time together. And we lift up this time of worship, but also this time of learning. Pray for this message that you would speak through the words that I share, and that you'd be pleased, and that you would change lives, Lord, based on your word, and that we would all draw closer to you. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Okie doke. So we've been slowly working our way through the third chapter of Philippians, and I will go ahead and read the whole chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the work by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll this week, and he was talking about how there's some parts of the Bible that are so full that we just feel like we're reading it and we have to come up for air. Okay, you know, I read all that and there's so much in there. And it's almost like if you just knew Philippians 3, you'd be okay. If you knew it fully, you'd be okay. Today, what I want to do is I want to focus on verses 12 through 16 in our walkthrough. And I'll just go ahead and read that again to remind us our focus. So, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So starting off in verse 12, Paul's just told us about how if anybody gets to brag, it's him. And then he starts off reminding us that he knows that he hasn't attained where he's heading. Paul was a humble man. He knew his position. In fact, he called himself the chief of sinners. He knows that he has not attained the position that Christ has in mind for him. He does imply, though, that he shall be perfected. So we shall be perfected. He sets an example to us that he strongly tells us I'm not asking you if you still commit sins. I'm asking you if you've asked God for forgiveness and moved on. Have you left those sins at the cross? Do you know that Jesus paid the debt for your sin and that they are not counted against you? Some of us need to realize Jesus loves us even with all our sins. There's a part of us that thinks that our sins are so bad that God can't possibly love us. We don't feel lovable. Let me assure you that Jesus does love you. Sometimes we think that everybody else is better than we are. We look around here at church, we look around at other churches, other places we go, and we think, if people only knew about us, what we know about us, then they wouldn't accept us. Well, I have good news, and that is that none of us have arrived or become perfected. There is a need to realize our position in Christ. Sometimes we take the other aspect. Sometimes we need to be more humble. Sometimes we think that we are okay because we compare ourselves with how we perceive others. We say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, so I guess I'm okay in God's eyes. We say to ourselves, I don't get drunk, I don't take drugs, I don't cuss, or whatever it is we think that we don't do, and so we're okay with God. But what we're doing is we're judging by human standards. I see two large problems here. First, we don't get to judge somebody else's relationship with God and think that ours is better. Secondly, God does not look at outward appearances. He judges based on our hearts. And what does He want? He wants a broken and a contrite heart. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. The idea of pressing on suggests that there is forward movement. And more than that, there is a persistent, aggressive, energetic, active pursuit. This isn't something that just happens. This is something we have to go after. I think of a marathon runner, or my brother-in-law Joey's a triathlete. So even though the race may go on for 3 hours, or 8 hours, or a full triathlon, if you're good, under 12 hours, there's this constant goal of finishing well. We want to get our PR. It's our personal record. We want to do our very best. We want to have no regrets that we could have done better. We want to make sure we stay on course. If you're running a marathon, you don't want to stray off course. It's 24.2 miles already. You don't want to add to it. We expect a lot in our walk here on earth. We want to do the right thing. We want to walk with God and in His will. And you can't do this without Jesus. He's the light of the world. And that's that good habits are good. We have a sense that anything done out of habit can't be good because it's habitual, it's not real. Sometimes prayer can become a habit. And that's a good thing. It's okay to have it a habit to sit down and pray before you eat. It is good to remember and make it real that you are really, even if you say the same thing every time, that you are thanking God for providing this food. Of course, I think with our economy, people are making it more real. Thank you for giving us this meal today, Lord. But it always is that way. It may be hard to keep your heart in the right place, but I know it is a good thing to stop before I eat and thank God for the food He has provided. It is good to start and end the day in prayer. It is a good habit to pray all day long. Another good habit. We are all greatly blessed. The more you ponder how blessed you are, the less likely you are to dwell on your problems. The Bible tells us to thank God for our problems. They are from Him. This may be difficult at first, but gets easier with practice. While we run, swim, and bike our race, there will be times when the wind is at our back. We have to go uphill. This is when our character is challenged and developed. Here is where we need to learn to press on. The good news is that Jesus lights the way and He is our strength. Remember that when we are weak, He is strong. We are to press on. In order to press in the right direction, we need to know what it is that God has in mind for us. How do we lay hold of that? Lay hold of us, unless we find this out. Jesus is after our hearts, and He's after your heart completely. He wants us to be perfect. The word that is in our Bible as perfect is translated probably better as mature. This is a good goal. We are to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. How does this pressing on manifest itself in our life practically? Let me ask you, Do you always know what to ask for when you pray? I don't. I know I'm supposed to pray for God's will to be done in my life and in my family's life in every situation that comes up. But I'll give you another thing to pray for as well. Ask God to give you spiritual desire. If you have the desire to study the Word, it will help you to do this. If you're actually interested in what you're reading or studying, that will be helpful. If you truly desire to get to know God better, then you will make the time to pursue this. Okay, for example, have you ever been excited to watch a new episode of a TV show? You've got all four seasons on tape, and the new season's coming, and you can't wait for it. Have you ever looked forward to seeing a new movie? Can't wait to get there. Have you ever looked forward to spending time with a family or a friend? So then, do you get that same excitement to sit down and pray? Or to read and study your Bible for an evening? Ask God to give you this. He will. Sometimes we are spiritually dry, and we need to get more motivated. We are spoiled here in the United States in many ways. We have Bibles galore. I didn't count this morning, but I know we have more than a dozen Bibles at my house. There is, I would guess, over 20 to 25 Christian churches just in Camarillo, probably the same number in Thousand Oaks. We can listen to Christian radio. There's two really good stations around here, probably three. We can go to Christian bookstores. We can go to Christian websites. God is everywhere. It's not hard for us to access Him. We have such an abundance that we're overwhelmed. We maybe don't have the appetite that we should because there's such abundant food that's available. I was listening this week to a missionary that was talking about smuggling Bibles into Iraq and into North Korea. The people risk their lives just to own one small Bible, and they often share the Bible between families, and they're so happy to get that Bible because that is life to them, just to be able to read the Word. We need to have this hunger. We need some of this in our lives. As we pursue this deeper knowledge, we not only read the Bible, but we study the Bible. The Greek words for perfect, the ones that are used in the New Testament, are teleos and teleotes. And these words emphasize wholeness and completeness. And biologically, they mean mature or full grown. For example, a person or an animal or a plant that has achieved its natural full potential. In the Old Testament, we have the word tamim, which can be translated also blameless. One who follows the Lord blamelessly does so wholeheartedly and honestly. So what's our goal? Our goal is to reach our full potential. Our goal is to reach that blameless state. In Romans 8:29, we read how Christ laid hold of us. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was to be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, who are the many brethren? That's us. The race toward Christ-likeness begins with a sense of honesty and dissatisfaction. Honesty, meaning understanding where we stand in regards to Christ. We aren't there. And dissatisfaction, not being satisfied with where we are, but having that desire to move on. Paul pursued sanctification with all his might, straining every spiritual muscle to win the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 tell us, "Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And then 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And I just want to stress, again, this is not something that just happens all by itself. All this imagery that Paul is talking about, boxing, running a race, I'm talking about marathons, press on. It's something that's active, active faith. To lay hold of something, in verse 12 we read to lay hold. It means to make one's own possession. Christ chose Paul for the ultimate purpose of conforming Paul to his glorious image. And that's the very goal that Paul pursued to attain. That's the same reason that Christ chose you. Verse 13 is great because Paul pares it down. He says, one thing I do. He reduced the whole of sanctification to the simple and clear goal of doing one thing, pursuing Christ's likeness. Our goal is to pursue Christ's likeness here and now. And the prize is to be like Christ in heaven. Okay, so verse 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's the here and now, and there's the heaven right there. In verse 15, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. So what's the attitude? The attitude is of pursuing the goal and the prize. God will reveal, He will uncover, He will unveil the truth to everyone. Those who seek Him, and even eventually those who don't seek Him, they'll all know. Verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. For those who are mature will have a mature walk. I don't know who's mature here. I'm not going to judge anybody. God knows. Maybe you guys know. For those who are growing, and I would consider myself in those who are growing, they will have a walk consistent with the level of maturity. And what we're told in verse 16, I think, is key. To the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. We've all been taught certain things. We know what is right and what is wrong. So why are we disobedient? The number one reason is that we want our way more than we want God's way. And the second reason is that we are not disciplined. Think about what we know already. Do you do better each day when you start in prayer? Do you always start in prayer? Do you do better if you read and study God's Word every day?
Size, chips, whatever your particular weakness may be. There are so many areas of discipline in our lives, and we fall short in many of them. I'm getting rather personal here, and I apologize because it's not with you guys, it's with me, but are you pleasant? Do people see you as always serious? Being pleasant may be something that is a work for you.
Do you smile at people? Or are you grumpy? Do people find you approachable? Many of us go through life reacting to each situation. We don't necessarily prepare for life. We just go out there and live it. Proverbs 4, verse 26 tells us to ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Solomon is telling us to think about where we are going and how we are acting on our way. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. How do we walk in love? How do we translate this into our daily life? The rules of life are really pretty simple, but very difficult. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, we read the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you love God, you will believe his ways are better than yours. You will trust him that his promises are true. Life is still difficult, but God blesses abundantly. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 29 says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever.
How is your heart?
Are you patient? Are you kind? Do you do everything without grumbling or complaining? Are you able to go one day without saying something negative about another person? Are you able to truly say that every day you try to do something nice for another person with no hope of personal benefit? Are you able to say that you have made each day a masterpiece by striving to know God in a more intimate way? Verse 16 says, let us be of the same mind. And what mind is this? It's a spiritual mind. Isaiah 26:3 tells us, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I would encourage you to keep your mind occupied with the things of the Lord. Meditate on his word and his ways daily. Press onward. Don't look back at your sin or your accomplishments. Press on toward the goal, which is to be like Christ. Let all of us here be of the same mind. We all fall short. If you notice that a brother falls short, don't be surprised. We all fall short. Pray for him, encourage him, but don't put him down. We're all in this race together. Keep moving forward every day. Take advantage of the opportunities that God has made available to you.